Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't know how many of you have actually run races or competed in events that have gone on and on until you're completely spent. Paul refers to his life in his letter to Timothy as a fight or as a race. Quite a while ago, I did the Honolulu Marathon. I'm careful not to say run because I didn't run. I may have jogged part of it, and I shuffled the last half. Realizing by the time I finished the race, I hadn't put in enough miles or done enough training, and so would pay the price for the next several days. Even longer ago than that, I swam probably one of the most difficult swimming races of my life. It was the 400 individual medley, and those of you who know anything about swimming, it means 100 meters or yards of butterfly, backstroke, breaststroke, freestyle. I was better at the 200. In this particular event, it was neck and neck the whole way between me and an up-and-coming younger rival. And she out-touched me by probably a tenth of a second. We were both under the state record. But second doesn't cut it. I can get credit for that record, for breaking it. And I think probably, if the truth be told, I was not swimming against my time. I was swimming against my rival, and that gets you into trouble every single time. Now, these races weren't life-changing, or they aren't really like running life's race. But they were both long races, and so I guess I want to use them as illustrations of when life seems like a marathon and the finish line seems elusive. But then again, sometimes life's race may seem too short. The finish line is before us and we want to push it back. Maybe the finish line is farthest away when we think we're actually getting close because we've done everything right. Somewhat like the Pharisee in the parable in our gospel lesson. When we are full of our right living, like that Pharisee, we think we have somehow earned special standing in the divine realm. When we are full of our own self-justification and self-righteousness or right living, then there's no room for God's mercy, God's love, grace, and forgiveness. Instead, we've been depending on ourselves. But then when we are maybe desperate, like the tax collector, thinking that we have nowhere else to turn but to God for mercy, the finish line has appeared right before us, and we may be afraid of crossing it. We feel hopeless because we've run out of time for redemption. Then in other situations, the finish line appears suddenly before us, perhaps prematurely, like, for example, when we face a life-threatening illness. We may become desperate when we see that finish line so close. We may wonder whether we could have done anything differently. We may wonder what we did wrong to deserve it. And we hope beyond hope for a miracle, for the finish line to recede, to give us more time to be with those we love, to do the things that bring us joy. or just to make good. Paul, who wrote to Timothy from prison, speaks of having fought the good fight and finished the race while keeping the faith. His race was the race of living life as a bold witness to the loving mercy and grace of God. Something he must have experienced on that transformative experience on the road to Damascus. And something he wanted all the Gentiles to come to know. God transformed Paul's life from one of persecutor to defender of the faith. He was a conduit through whom the message was proclaimed so that all Gentiles might hear it. He didn't have that much training, but ran trusting in God's faithfulness to stand by him, to give him strength, even when others had abandoned him, or especially then. On the one hand, he sounds a bit boastful, a little bit like the Pharisee, who is so full of his own self-righteousness and who scorns those he sees as less righteous. And he'd been going, the Pharisee did went above and beyond. On the other hand, to me it's quite remarkable that fear hasn't overcome Paul as he sees the finish line loom before him. He doesn't expect to get out of prison, yet he trusts that God will act on his behalf. And not only on his behalf, but on the behalf of any who long for the Lord's appearing. And isn't that what we all long for? Yes, Paul is in prison. Others, too, have been persecuted, imprisoned, and killed for their faith. Then there are people who feel trapped by our lousy economy. People who have lost jobs, homes. Many who have lost hope for a variety of reasons. People who fight chronic and terminal illness. People who struggle with addiction. People who are hungry. People who are in prison for other reasons. The mean-spiritedness of our political scene pervades the whole of our culture. Bullying leads to those who are bullied committing suicide. People experience abusiveness in their relationships. The world, individual lives, are turned upside down. For some, the finish line may be too far away. For some, it's all too close. How do we run this race when the journey takes us places we didn't expect to go or we don't want to go? How do we keep the faith when we feel like we've run out of time, or when we feel as though it's a marathon? David, you all know him, or many of you know him, my brother, is one who always says, "Don't worry, it'll all work out." But nevertheless, it isn't always easy to let go of those things over which we have no control, yet want to have control. Isn't part of being human wanting that much more control of our lives, especially when we face some of life's most difficult challenges? As many of you know, I'm going through a year of what's called clinical pastoral education. Basically, it's a training I'm going through to become a chaplain, possibly, in a clinical setting. I spend 4 days a week at Kaiser Hospital and 1 day a week with fellow residents as we reflect on our interactions with patients and work to improve ourselves as well as our ministry skills in that clinical setting. part of my time so far has included working with an interdisciplinary team, a palliative care team. We come together and meet with the patient and sometimes the family to discuss the situation, to learn what the patient understands of his or her medical situation. We want to determine what their needs are, what their wants are, as they move forward on their journey, their race, if you will. And indeed, it's a hard race to run. And those questions do come up that I mentioned before. Could I have done anything differently? Why is this happening to me? What have I done to deserve this? It's a hard race. It's an unfair race. And there are no good answers to all of those questions. One of the best things, or the best thing I or anyone else can do, and there may be other things, but is to find a way to walk, to run or to walk that race with those who have lost hope, with those who maybe feel cheated out of time, with those who can't see their way to taking the next few steps. The best any of us can do is to be with one another, each in our own unique way. Whatever life experiences we have, along with our faith, those things guide us as we provide companionship to those in their time of need. I'm not the most skilled at it, and I continue to learn as I sometimes run and sometimes shuffle along my own way to the finish line. How else do we come to know God's constant, faithful, loving, and merciful presence if not through others? Like Paul, we are all conduits of God's mercy and grace. Thankfully, each of us embodies it differently, so that more and more people, all of whom are different, can hear and receive it. Even though our iniquities sometimes do testify against us, and our apostasies may be many, even though we may have wandered or have not restrained our feet, even though we feel abandoned, and there's that lament in Jeremiah, and even as we plead for God not to forsake us, we are also reminded by the prophet's words that God is among us. God calls us by name. It is on this God that we set our hope. It is on the God who brings rain and gives showers that we set our hope. This God is not a stranger. This God is not a disinterested traveler turning aside for the night. The people of Jeremiah's time, their hope was and ours is in a God who is full of grace, who is forever faithful, who is abundantly loving and forgiving. And this God is so much more than any one of us. Later in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, we do read, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God. They shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." It is God who, through Jesus Christ, has redeemed us, who showers us with mercy and grace, who stands by us, giving us strength to keep the faith, to proclaim the message of good news, and to finish the race. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Amen.